Chapter 68. Lily Kane returned to Paradise 2 days later and called Jesse, telling him they needed to talk. He said he'd been expecting her call, asked where she wanted to meet. "I'll come to you," she said. "I need to clear some things up for both of us," then added, "as a friend." Jesse asked if she'd find it inappropriate to come to his place. She said, not at all. He should know by now she wasn't that much of a lady. She asked if he had anything to drink there. He said that if she meant liquor, no. She said she'd bring her own. When she was in the living room, she took off her Paradise Yacht Club ball cap and shook her long hair loose. She was wearing jeans and sneakers, a windbreaker. Just folks. "Do I get a tour?" she said.
"Trust me," Jesse said, "you don't want one."
"Then how about a glass with ice?" she said, as she pulled a pint of Crown Royal out of the side pocket of the windbreaker. Jesse went into the kitchen and got the same kind of tall glass he once used when it was the cocktail hour here. When he came back, Lily was on the terrace, probably thinking how much better her view was. Jesse handed her the glass and led her back into the living room and gestured at the small couch across from his television chair. She poured whiskey into her glass and took a healthy swallow, put the glass down on a coaster, smiled at Jesse and said, "Bryce told me about your conversation."
"I expected that he would."
"Let me tell you a story," she said.
"I'm here."
"If one of us was Paul Hutton's parent, it had to be Witch," she said, "because I sure as shit wasn't his mother." She took a smaller sip of whiskey, closed her eyes, let it run through her, and settle. He knew the feeling, like you'd wrap your insides in a warm blanket. "Samantha didn't tell her father or me that she planned to take a goddamn DNA test," Lily said. "She's hardly ever around these days. They barely speak when she is. We barely speak. If we say up, she says down. Point is, I never got the chance to talk her out of it." Jesse waited. "But some of her friends were doing it, and so she did too," Lily said. "She only came to me about it when she got a match. As you can imagine, I blew several fuses, and reminded dear Samantha that she was a Kane, and that we didn't share our secrets with others, especially ones literally written in blood."
"Had Hutton reached out to her?"
"Not yet," Lily said. "I told her the implications of a stranger knowing he was related to us in some way, that it was practically an invitation for someone to come looking for money. I told her to turn the account over to me. It simply wasn't safe any other way."
"She went for that?"
Lily smiled. "You know me, Jesse," she said. "I can be quite persuasive when I need to be, even with a pig-headed young woman who reminds me far too much of myself at her age."
"Wasn't she even curious?" Jesse said.
"Mildly," Lily said. "But if it's not really about her, she loses interest pretty quickly. I explained to her that although I didn't want to burst her bubble about her grandfather, he might have a family tree apart from our own that looks like the Old Testament." She sighed. "Then I reminded her again that I had given her a trip through France and Switzerland and Italy for her birthday, and told her to let me handle it before people got hurt."
"Did you tell your husband about any of this?" Jesse said. "Or all of it?"
"I told him," she said. "I wasn't surprised, wasn't even angry, really. I asked who he thought the mother might be. He looked at me and said, 'It could have been anybody.'"
"Did he tell anybody else?" Jesse said. "He seemed to share a lot with Karina."
"He's the one who told me not to tell anybody," she said. "He always talked about keeping the circle tight. Said to let him take care of it, or have it taken care of. He winked at me and said, 'The way we used to take care of things in the old days.'" She shrugged.
When Paul Hutton turned up dead, I just assumed that he had taken care of things. She drank. Jessie studied her face as she did, trying to imagine the girl she had been, the one who'd stolen the old bastard's heart when they were both young. "You knew all this the first time I came to the house," he said, "the morning we found the body." "I was a Cain," she said, "keeping the circle tight. Didn't you want to know if your husband had it done?" "More truth, Jessie? I didn't. I was just glad it was over." She leaned forward, eyes on him, the full force of her focused on him, who she was, who she wanted to be. "And now, I very much want this to be over for you," she said. "That your late husband may have been complicit in a murder," he said. "Not your call, Lily." "If he was or he wasn't," she said, "we'll never know. Just let it be enough that this is what I believe happened." "And everybody lives happily ever after," Jessie said. "Except for Paul Hutton, of course." "He's gone," Lily said. "Wit is gone. I want you to leave what's left of my family alone." "You think Hutton was coming after some of his money, and Wit hired some old friend to take him out?" "It makes sense to me, in an odd way," she said. "One last time, even in that chair, the life coming out of him. He got to feel like Wit Cain." There was still some whiskey in her glass. He felt the urge to go across the room and finish it himself. "Noble," he said. "I'm sorry?" "Noble of you to protect the good name of a man you say you stopped loving a long time ago." "Not noble," she said, "just practical. By now, you should know, we're very practical people." Jessie stood up and walked to the terrace door and stared out at the night. When he turned around, he said, "The only problem for me, just as a practical matter, is that you're full of shit." "Excuse me?" she said. "Wit wasn't the father," he said. "You were the mother. And Wit didn't hire somebody to kill Hutton. You killed him, Lily." He sat back down in the armchair and said, "Now let me tell you a story."